Right now, we have a very special guest who's coming on the program. His name is John Rappaport. He runs a site called No More Fake News. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
We appreciate you joining us. We know you've been doing some work since 1999, at least, on kids who are taking these antidepressant, anti-obsessive compulsive drugs and all this stuff. What have you found out about the Parkland shooting, if anything?
Well, let's start 1999, the Columbine shooting, school shooting in Colorado.
Okay.
It emerged that one of the shooters, Eric Harris, was on a drug called Luvox, mm-hmm. which has been prescribed by many doctors as an antidepressant, and is similar to Prozac and Zoloft and Paxil. And statements from various psychiatrists, which I quote in my article about this, indicate that it's an open secret in psychiatric circles that these drugs can cause violent behavior, meaning suicide, homicide, grandiose plans to destroy large numbers of people, and so on and so forth.
Now, is this people in general or mostly people under 18?
No, it's not necessarily people under 18.
Okay.
There was a famous case in Kentucky, for example, where a former employee of a company went in and shot up the company and killed people and then killed himself. He was on Prozac. So in the recent shooting, we have at least some glints of suggestions that this person was under medical care, psychiatric care, and may have been prescribed one of these drugs. We don't know for certain. It hasn't been absolutely confirmed, mainly because in these cases, law enforcement authority tries to resist releasing medical information. So we rely on stories from family members, witnesses, and so forth.
Now, is that because of HIPAA or for some other reason?
There are several reasons. One is, and I've verified this by talking with law enforcement officials over the years, police, FBI, judges, prosecutors don't like to get into the psychiatric drug issue when they are investigating mass shootings or murders. They try to stay away from that. They have, of course, psychiatrists as expert witnesses in many cases. They don't like to go up against medical authorities. They try to avoid this. And then there are pharmaceutical company pressures not to release information that would accuse a psychiatric drug of causing violent behavior. So there's a lot of pressure in these investigations not to reveal medical information that could show somebody, for example, like Adam Lanza in Sandy Hook, was on one or more of these psychiatric drugs, such as Prozac or Zoloft or Paxil. So it's very hard to ferret out the information. But nevertheless, in the many, many school shootings that have occurred in the last, let's say, 20, 25 years, and there are many that people are not aware of, there has been testimony that these shooters were on these drugs. And we know from studies, some of which I quote in my article, that these drugs are known to cause violent behavior. In fact, and this is very important for people to understand, suddenly or quickly withdrawing from these drugs can be very, very dangerous. The adverse effects can be more dangerous and threatening than even taking the drug. So people would have to do this gradually under professional supervision of somebody who really knows what he's doing.
Okay.
So this is, a tremendous issue. More and more young people who are more vulnerable than adults have been put on these drugs, millions of young people across America over the last, 15 to 20 years. And this is creating what I call the Johnny Appleseed effect. You know, you put out so many of these prescriptions for these drugs, and you are going to get unexplainable violence erupting here and there and here and there, and people will really not understand or have the slightest idea why it's happening, but that's why it's happening.
Okay, and where are these statistics coming from?
Well, these statistics are coming as far as how many people are taking the drugs from the Centers for Disease Control, from the National Institutes of Health, from various public health groups who compile statistics.
Okay.
You can find them in articles. Just using a search engine, enter a question. how many Americans are taking antidepressants? How many young people are taking antidepressants? And you will find statistics and reports and estimates and so forth. It's all in the open literature. There's no secret about this. The numbers are rising drastically over the last, say, 15 years.
I meant with regard to the violence as a side effect.
Well, the violence, those are coming from studies that have been published in mainstream journals.
Okay.
And I have cited several of these studies in my article, and they also are coming from statements from psychiatrists themselves. For example, Dr. Peter Bregan, who has led the campaign for the last, I would say, 25, 30 years to expose the tremendous adverse effects of these drugs. He has testified in many, many cases as an expert witness, and you can look at his site, BREGGIN.com, and see all sorts of references to these drugs and their effects on people. So he would be one psychiatrist. There are several others. David Healy in England is another one who's been exposing this. As I say, among psychiatrists, they don't speak about it publicly. This is really an open secret. You can even find in the package inserts for drugs like Paxil, what are called black box warnings that have finally been inserted by the FDA to alert people to the fact that these drugs have dangerous effects. Although, okay, of course, most users don't ever read the package inserts,
sure,
so they wouldn't know.
Well, in case you're just joining us, we're talking with John Rappaport. He is an investigative reporter from No More Fake News. I'm very curious. In an average class of eighth graders, let's say, 60 kids in a class, how many would you estimate are taking some sort of mind-altering drug?
Oh, that's a tough one. Let's say 60. So I would estimate that you could easily go 10.
10, okay.
If you include, for example, ADHD drugs, the oldest one was Ritalin. There are new ones like Adderall. And then if you also include the antidepressants like Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, you could, I would guess, you know, find perhaps 10 who are on these drugs.
Wow.
And they all have serious adverse effects.
This isn't like taking an aspirin. This is a serious commitment on the part of these kids and parents.
Yes, a very serious commitment. But you see, they are swayed by school counselors who refer them to psychiatrists and by the psychiatrists themselves. So the parents surrender, let's say, you know, their authority. And they just say, well, the doctor says we should be doing this, and the doctor has diagnosed my child as having the following disorder, and so we just have to go along with it. And that's how it happens. Schools are trained to believe that all of these so-called mental disorders are very real and that the drugs are very useful, and they are never told about the adverse effects. I have many, many interviews that I've done with parents of children and how they get into this bottleneck over time. A diagnosis is made, a drug is given, the drug has adverse effects. They go back to the psychiatrist who says, these effects are not from the drug, they are from a new mental disorder, we must prescribe more drugs. And eventually this whole thing piles up and has a tremendously negative effects on the children, tremendously.
Well, a couple of things. First, is it true that there are doctors that get perks from pharmaceutical companies for prescribing certain drugs like this?
Oh, yes. I mean, there are many cases that have been prosecuted on this basis. Basically, what pharmaceutical companies do is they send in their sales reps to doctors, you know, presumably to leave samples and to have discussions about some new drug on the market. But the charges that are brought are unduly influencing the doctors, bribing the doctors. Serious, serious charges. In fact, in the opioid epidemic that is sweeping America, people can look up the case of Purdue Pharma to see the incredible charges that have been leveled against that company for illegally influencing doctors by telling basically lies, such as, oh yes, you can prescribe this opioid like OxyContin for a long period of time and it won't be deleterious to the child or to the adult, not a problem. It's a very good pain reliever, et cetera, and you can use it for many different conditions that involve pain, not just the ones that the FDA has approved it for. There are prosecutions, some of which are underway as we speak, on just this issue.
Wow.
It's quite fantastic when you break it down.
Is anybody tracking the incidence of interactions between these drugs that they're prescribing?
No, I would say that's absolutely not happening in any systematic way. For example, let us suppose, and I have talked to several psychiatrists who explained this very simple pattern. A child is diagnosed with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So he's given a drug like Ritalin, which is an amphetamine-like drug. So sooner or later, the child becomes depressed. The parent takes child back to the doctor. Doctor says, well, now we've seen the emergence of a new mental disorder, depression, and I now have to prescribe Paxil.
Mm-hmm.
So the child now takes Paxil. Now the child goes up into sort of a manic state and down into depression, back to the doctor who now says, well, actually, what we are now seeing is the emergence of bipolar or manic depression disease. So now I have to prescribe more drugs, heavier drugs. And there is no attempt made to study the interacting effects of all of these drugs, much less the highly questionable diagnoses that are handed out. So the answer to your question is no.
Well, this whole thing, I think, is very sad that's going on with our youth today. And we are so happy that people like you are uncovering all of these problems in our medical system. We thank you so much for your information. And can you tell people where to read more of your articles?
Yes, my site is nomorefakenews.com. Just go there and you'll see all the headlines of articles, and you can go also into the archive and read more articles. So it's there every day, and people can easily find it and sign up for the email list if they want to get articles delivered to them.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. We've been talking with John Rappaport from No More Fake News, and we thank you again for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.